Well, some psalms are good bedtime psalms. The Lord's my shepherd. Some psalms are thoughtful psalms. The word of the Lord is a light to my path. And some psalms are vigorous psalms. Sing! Proclaim! Praise! Declare! Ascribe! Give! Bow! Worship! Say! You know, you can't read this psalm and not feel a bit weary. Especially on a Sunday night, you're thinking, work tomorrow. Going to calm down as we get ready for bed. It's a bold psalm, this, isn't it? It urges us from beginning to end and presses us. Not just us, it's bold. It says, it dares to say that this message, verse 1, is for all the earth. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to sing? Are you going to join in? It's not that singing's difficult, is it? It's not that praising's difficult, as long as you've got something that you want to praise. You know, your rugby team, your mountains, maybe some people like mathematics as well, I don't know. But if you have the thing that you're devoted to, the thing you admire, praise comes from it and completes it, doesn't it? You don't have to be told to praise your wife. And that's important, isn't it? Because there are weightier questions of praise. If we're no longer praising our wives or husbands, if we're not making known our admiration and our devotion, then perhaps the relationship's in danger. Or when our children begin to admire and praise unworthy role models, as a parent, you're like, or as adults. We praise and we admire things that just aren't healthy for us, are they? For me, for example, it's been a long struggle to escape pursuing the approval of other people. You know, other people's approval becomes an idol for me. I think a little God who I think if I serve it enough, if I worship it enough, it'll give me satisfaction, it'll give me security that I long for. Verse 5 says, all our gods are idols. They are doctors who can't cure us. They're leaders who can't save us. It matters a great deal, doesn't it? Whether the things you admire and are devoted to are worthy of our devotion and worship. Fortunately for us tonight, it's not just sing, it's not just declare, it's here's why. I can see three things. Verse 3, sing because of his marvelous deeds. Verses 4 and 5, sing because he's greater than everyone else. And verses 12 to 13, sing, because he will judge the earth. What are his marvelous deeds? I don't have any slides for this part, but what would you put on as a picture of the marvelous deeds of the Lord? At least for the psalm writer, number one has got to be the time when the Lord faced down Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the Exodus. The Israelites had grown and prospered in Egypt, as you know, but the day came when Egypt turned against them. The Israelites were enslaved, their children were being killed. Would the Lord, who called them his own, help them? If they died, well, how is God going to keep the promise that he made to Abraham, that through Abraham's descendants, the whole world was going to be blessed? They cried out to the Lord, and he rescued them. He sent Moses, he went to Pharaoh and said, look, the Lord says, let my people go. Pharaoh replied in Exodus 5, who's the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? No, I do not know the Lord and I will not let Israel go. Well, Moses was understandably upset about this and had a little word of the Lord himself. Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on his people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's brought trouble on his people and you've not rescued your people at all. The Lord replied, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And as you know, that's just what he did. With plagues, he faced down the gods of Egypt, and in the final act, showed that only God is able to save us from the judgment of death. And so he led them out of Egypt and into the freedom of living as his people and not as Pharaoh's people. Applause. God's a great word, isn't he? Wonderful. And just like an adopted child never forgets that once they were nobodies, but they were chosen and they were loved, so Israel never forgot what God had done for them. Of course, there's more that God did for Israel, but let's move to the New Testament, where it's very clear that the Lord of Israel in the Exodus is the Lord Jesus, who was born into the world in Bethlehem. The Lord we're urged to praise in this psalm became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, wrote John. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what was this glory that John saw? Well, they saw God the Son, eternal, the eternal God the Son, pre-existing, who is rich beyond all our imaginings. He rules the universe with no rival. He is and he was eternally loved and adored in the Trinity of God. This God they saw born into an ordinary family of laborers. They saw him hungry and cold and tired. They saw him care for the poor and sick. They saw him welcome the young and the outcast. They saw him debate the intellectuals with wisdom and tell stories to fishermen. They saw him befriending drunks and gluttons. They saw him weeping with them at funerals. And then there was a day that Jesus prepared for with this prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And so he went to the cross. The cross that was made for enemies of the state. They saw him die and 3 days later rose into victory. And this is the heart of God's marvelous deeds, isn't it? Another Exodus rescue. Only this time, Jesus, with his own death in our place, defeated the power of death, took the judgment of death that we deserved, and rose to lead his people into life, that when our time comes, will take us through death and into a new creation. And of course, here I am standing before you, the marvelous deeds of God. God has worked in all your lives. That's why you're here tonight, isn't it? Because God has done marvelous and is going to do marvelous things for you. Second, verses 4 and 5. The Lord is the greatest God. That's difficult to say these days, but the Lord is the greatest God. Israel has always said that, and we continue to say it too. You know, glory, what's glory? Glory is greatness made known. So a football team has a trophy cabinet, and their trophy cabinet says, we're pretty good at football, you know. We've got superior skill, and we've won things. Or powerful rulers, when the President Xi of China came to London, there was great pageantry, because I am the Emperor of China. So how do we know the greatness of God? We saw the picture of Iwaki-san, the mountain of in Hirosaki. Is it behind us? Is it working? Ooh. Can you do it? Is it? Yeah. Well, yeah, there's Iwaki-san. That mountain declares the glory of God. It declares the glory of God to us. Can we go back one? It declares the glory of God to us, doesn't to a Japanese person. A Japanese person looks at the mountain and goes, very powerful being, might be able to help me. And so there's a temple on the side of Mount Iwaki, and all the farmers go there every year for hundreds of years, and they make offerings to the god of the mountain. Please help us with our harvest, will you, this year? We really need a good harvest. It'll help us so much. And here's an offering. We've done our bit. Will you do your bit, please? Thank you very much. But because we've heard the word of God, the mountain says something else to us, doesn't it? It doesn't say, I'm big and strong, I can help you, you know. The mountain says to us, look what God can do. The mountain declares the glory, the greatness of God. But of course, that's minor compared to what we heard in some of the songs. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you hear how astonishing that is? Iwaki-san is a god, at least in Japanese thought. Allah is a god in Islamic thought and many other gods in many other religions. But none of them did not come to be served, but to serve and to give their life as a ransom for many. Isn't that extraordinary? The God who made the universe, a God for whom stars are mere diamonds, he comes to serve and to give his life as a ransom forever for many. This greatness is sometimes seen more clearly in contrast. And this group of Japanese ladies did this for me. Sorry, I'm not very good at it. Here we are. This is a group of mothers. Their children were having English classes, so I was teaching them English at the same time. And we did English. And then at the end, we did a Bible study. That's perfect. That's okay in Japan because people respect Christianity. They go to church. Well, of course, we're going to read the Bible. So we have a little Bible discussion at the end. We had a great time, a very chatty group of ladies. And so we did all the, well, most of the parables of Jesus. We did other stories from the New Testament. And I was like, what are we going to do next? We've done all that stuff. So we did a little series on parts of the Bible that are beautiful. Parts of the Bible, like, and so we did Psalm 23, Psalm 103, Psalm 139. And one day, the lady in the with the sunglasses on, she said, "Is all the Bible like this?" And he was like, "Well, not really." For example, here's Psalm 13. You know, Psalm 13. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" You know what? She looked up, and she, for once, she had nothing to say. Is this the Bible? She said, "Really? Is this the Bible?" If you expect the Bible to be like any other religious or help book, then it surprises you, because religious books or self-help books are supposed to do just that. They have rules and rituals and good examples to help you to grow, to build yourself up. They're supposed to be instruction books for self-rescue or the price lists for getting a God's good favor. So why are Psalm 13 or Psalm 88 and the others in the Bible? Well, you know. It's a book of rescue. It's not a book of rescue techniques and therapies. It's not about routes to happy experiences. It's about him and how he's reaching out to you. And as this lady earnestly studies the Bible, she's finding out more about this remarkable God. So how about you? Follower of Jesus or not? We all serve and devote ourselves to ideas we believe will give us peace or satisfaction and love. And when you hold those ideas up, how do those idols line up to this God, the God of this psalm, who is most worthy of your praise? Finally and briefly, verses 12 to 13, we should sing because he will judge the world. You may not have watched it, but you're probably aware of the epic TV series Game of Thrones. It's a reimagining of medieval history full of intrigue and nobility and love and lust and tenderness and violence. There's not much joyful singing, from what I hear. I haven't actually watched it. Every week, hopefulls for the throne scheme. They attack, they counterattack, they die. Characters are vile one week, they're noble the next, they're dead the week after. It's a world of compromised characters, and that's exactly what the writer wanted. The writer, George Martin, wanted to be realistic. It's the way the world is. It's not the way we want it to be or imagine the world to be. But of course, the sad fact is, as he said, the true horrors of human history, he said, derive not from orcs and dark lords, but from ourselves. And that is why 10 to 13 is such good news. That you might join the heavens, the sea, and the forest, and just about everything else, in praising, glad praising, because there is a God who rules. There is a God who deserves to be on the throne. There is a God who is worthy to be on the throne. The God who gives of himself to his people. The climate is out of control. Dictators still rule. Our own country seems perilously shaky at the moment. But it is actually firmly established, and the Lord will keep it so. So what are you going to do? Who deserves your devotion, your admiration, and your worship? And so who will you sing to? And as you remember the marvelous deeds of the Lord in the days and weeks to come, remember 2 verses 3 and 10. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved, and he will judge the peoples with equity. Our nation is just outside this building. The nations are two. The nations are in Inverness. The nations around the world. You know, one of our OMF leaders was taken on a drive through the towns and villages of eastern Thailand. They drove along a road through various towns and villages for over 3 hours. And at that point, his host, a missionary in Thailand, turned to him and said, "Do you know, in the last 3 hours, we've not passed through one church. In the last 3 hours, there's been no Christian witness whatsoever in this area." Or in Japan, there's 453 communities in Japan that have no church at all. They might be able to to hear something on the TV, but there is no one there, no person that I can meet who will tell them how great the Lord is. You know, when you, I know you're all at work, you're all in your communities, and you all want the Lord Jesus to be known. And sometimes it's tiring because nothing seems to happen, you know. And how do we endure? We endure because the Lord reigns. The Psalms 96 says, convert people and get them into church, and well done. Psalm 96 says, declare his glory to the nations. Psalm 96, say the Lord reigns, and that is what you need to do. That is what we need to do, and we can do that because we know the Lord is great, and we can endure doing that. One day the King will come, and he will judge, and we of all creation are going to shout and sing for joy. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, the maker of heaven and earth. Our Father in heaven who came and the Lord Jesus came and lived among us full of grace and truth, and we saw his glory. Father, thank you that we can see your glory in this room when we look around and see that our lives being changed more and more daily into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that our lives and our words would speak to the people of Inverness, that as we have time and opportunity, that our lives and the lives of others would speak to this whole world. And so, Father, the whole world would come to sing your praise with joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.